everything was made.
Comfort and care. We thank you for all the strength you give us to
face the world daily. We pray that you will continue to strengthen us. Help us to be more like your Son. Thank you for all your love and care. Ask you to see us through another night. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we talked about the sorrow that the Bible talks about this morning and tells us it can be overcome, it can be relieved from us and so forth. We raised a question regarding the joy that the Bible talks about for our daily walk of life. And there's hardly any place in the Scripture that more is spoken regarding that way of joy than is in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. In regard to this particular matter of Philippians 4, I want to ask the question in general. How do we determine that a person is happy? One way for sure that we generally assume that, not always the case in truth, but is the smile that they wear on their faces. The happiness with which they meet and greet others. The happiness that you can see and sense in the smile that they have is a relief from those who find themselves always negative, always downtrodden, always the bad things are coming about, kind of an influence as they talk to us and visit with us. And so it is that in these things particularly, I looked at these particular things that Paul mentions to the brethren to think about. And I looked at how many of them bring a smile to our faces. We're always happy when these things are being discussed and stated, are we not? Let's get to the context of this. The context of this begins actually in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, based on what I've already said before about glorifying Christ Jesus as we live in this world in which we live, not after the deeds of the body, but after the deeds of the Lord's word in our lives. And having our conversation in heaven, he says in chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working wherewith he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And then he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now that idea about being faithful to the Lord and standing ready and fast in him is a joy that he says is a part of it. My joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Then he goes on to talk about a couple of folks there that are said to be in the negative sense of how they're talking with one another, visiting one another. I beseech Eudoxius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He's talking about things there that makes him happy and joyful. The conflicts that they've had between themselves, be of the same mind in the Lord. There is a difference in having ideas that we have and thought. But in the Lord, if there's a fact that is stated and so stated, let's unite with what the Lord has said, what the Lord is doing, and what the Lord is saying about things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, or that is the word, being anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. That word keep means to guard. It'll guard you from other things that will rob this from you. Will be keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we remember that the Lord is ever with us, the Lord is ever part of our prayer life, He's a part of our work that we go to, He's a part of our deeds of talking to others and visiting with others and inviting others to come and be a part of the worship with us and service with us and know the gospel, it's a wonderful thing to know that this peace of God that passeth all understanding, it surpasses the understanding. And it is the idea shall keep or guard your hearts and minds. And then he says in verse 8, things that I think along the way we can see there's a smile about each one. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, is it not a smile when we are told the truth about the price of an item, about something that we purchased in good faith that it's going to work for us and succeed for us? I can't tell you the smiles that I've had about various things that have happened to me that I didn't know at the time would be a real blessing to my life. But it was true and accurate in that day. One year, several years ago, I decided to go down and watch each one of the high school championship football games. You know, there are five or six classes. At that time, there were five. And there was these classes of competition. And the last two teams from the North and South met together and played ball game. And this time, they were meeting in that regard. And I went down there to get a room and stay the night and go to the games on Saturday as well. And just enjoy that particular experience that I never had. Miss Jane was agreeable to me to do that. And so here I go. And I'm down there and involved during the days of being in the Bible Speaks radio, television program. And I checked into a hotel, a little motel, there in Clinton, Mississippi. And it was a nice little deal, and they were had a good reputation. And I went in to the lady there, and she was trying to help me to not have the cost of $85 or $95 a night. She was trying to help me to get a whole lot less than that, and she did. But she did it in such a way that I had to say no and no and no and no about things. She said, are you a part of the, and she named various groups, like the AAA group, club. No, not in that. Are you in this, and in this, and this, and in this? No, no, not in that. And finally she said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a minister. I'm a teacher in a school, which I taught at North Sunflower Academy at that time, and coached ball there. She said, a teacher and coach? She reached underneath her desk and brought out a book that was twice the size of this Bible in thickness. And she began to turn page after page after page. Pencils were offered. Ballpoint pens were offered. All kind of stationery was offered. Every kind of thing you could imagine for a teacher or for a coach would be there. There were things that particular day she offered. She said, this would get you $10 removed from the bill. This will get you $5 removed from the bill. This will get you, and I, of course, was a smile every time she said something would be reduced from the $95 that's going to be on the night stay there. It was a wonderful blessing to me. And she got it all the way down to $25. And I, for the next 6 months of time, got things in the mail because the companies were notified that this was a teacher or this was a coach and this could be done. And so they were offering me a whole lot more things to come up. I didn't take a whole lot of those things, but there were some things that I got that for many years thereafter, Every time I would need something to be replaced, I'd reach in and there'd be a pencil that came from that particular time and that particular night and bring a smile on me again. When you have something that is true, something that's accurate, something's of good, then that brings a smile. Whatsoever things are honest. If that lady had been telling me that these things would be helpful to you and everything would be good and this will spare you some money and it's just $5 less, it's going to be $90, that wouldn't have been a very happy moment of time. That would have been worth all the efforts of doing that. But they were every one successful and every one was good. And it just reinforced the fact that she was honest and earnest as she could be to help me at the time that I was checking in there that particular evening. And so there was something that I got I didn't realize was there. When things are honest with us, we get a lot more than we bargain for. I've heard of people that have gotten special tools that it worked better than they ever dreamed it would work. Worked better for them than they ever thought it was going to work. And it always brought a smile to their face when they were telling me about it, because they were glad to tell me that this which I ordered, I didn't have much hope in, but boy, it works. It works every time. It's just right for me. And when things are honest, it brings about a great sense of joy, a smile. Whatever things are just. The word just is the short word for justice. It's the thing that's fair and right. When there's certain things that are being done in life, and it's a matter of going to court or to a lawyer or something like that, and there's justice involved in the matter. When there is salvation at hand and we're made just before God, He forgives us. That's something that is true. It's something that's honest from God. And it is a just thing for those whom He has forgiven. Can you imagine the idea of standing before God at the judgment scene? The Apostle Paul thought about that. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, he said, "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." When we're persuaded of God that this way that is just and the judgment will be based upon these things we've done, whether we are being doing good or evil, and to do the things that are just in life, things that are honest, things that are true, things that are just, much less things that are pure. There are purities in life that are a part of our thinking and a part of our activities. Purity in life involves us and involves other people too. We become a great influence. Although each one of these items is an influence to others, telling the truth, being honest, and being just. But here, for sure, if we say that we're that way and we're not pure in our conduct of life, what does that do for us? Does it trust little children from others, their next door neighbor? They've got to go to the store. They've got to go to the hospital to visit someone there in the hospital. They need someone to care for their son or their daughter that's little. And we are the people who are acting pure in our conduct toward them. Not impure. Not taking advantage of it and say, hush, don't tell anybody about this. Don't say anything about this. But rather being pure in our conduct and pure in our mannerisms toward them, so that they can say they had a good time and they were treated well, and not saying the kind of things before them that are not pure and lovely. Lovely. Things that are reported to be good things. Lovely things. It's a word that is used in reference to the way that we live and the way we behave. And lovely is the way that's described for us to live. And when a little child can tell mom and dad or grandma and grandpa when they come back from staying with us that they were treated well. There are a lot of things about life that they can enjoy at grandma's and grandpa's house. Foods that they can eat there that they tell mom and dad about when they get back. Hey, you need to make chocolate pie like this. You need to make chocolate cake like this. You need to do this. That's a good compliment to you. And it's a wonderful thing that you are noted to be a lovely person in their view. Whatsoever things are of good report. Good report meaning something that we can practice and expect the similar outcome. Here's a good report that is given. Somebody standing up on the road, waving at us as we go along the way, trying to get us to slow down and stop because the bridge is out up ahead. Isn't that a good set of words to tell us? Aren't we ever more thankful and grateful that we did not just zip on by them and run over into that terrain that we were fixing to go into, no telling what would happen to us? It's of good report. If there be any virtue, strength that is furnished to us because of something that is genuine and true, virtue, a way of life of purity, a way of life of being honest, a way of life of being of good report, a way of life that is good. And if there be any praise, if there is praise that is worthy to be given, praise that's worthy to be said. You know, sometimes you begin a ball game like was begun this afternoon, and the team gets ahead greatly, right off the bat. But it doesn't last. And that other team keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming, and finally goes ahead and wins the game. When the person turned it off at the first 10 minutes of the ball game, it looked like that team ahead was going to win. And I don't waste my time. I just turn it off and I'll enjoy. But they didn't win. Solomon explained that in the book of Ecclesiastes when he said, the race is not always to the swift. The battle is not always to the strong. Time and chance happeneth to them all. When a certain player has been injured and is not able to be competition in that game, it can change the whole outcome of that game. When a coach standing up there in the booth up there watching the game underway sees a certain play being done and sees why it's successful, and they note what they can do to block that player, so that player will not be reaching that person that's going to do the run by him later on in that game, then he has a way of doing that which he can begin to help his team by letting them know, I've got an answer to this. I've got an answer for this. And wonderful is that work. It's praiseworthy. If there is any praise, think on these things. What does he say? Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace, what does that God of peace give us? Well, he says there in this verse 7, he gives us, it surpasses understanding, and it keeps our hearts and minds. It guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's saying here. These things, the peace of God, the peace of Christ will be with you. The peace of God shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. But not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Isn't it a wonderful smile on our faces when we find we are living a contented way of life? Making contented decisions, doing contented things for people, enjoying contentment as we live. It's a smile. It's a wonderful thing in life to have that. He says, therefore, with be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is talking about a way of life that we need to practice. It doesn't bring sorrow, as is described back there in the Old Testament of the Bible. But before we leave this particular idea of thoughts and good things, I want us to go back to the Old Testament of the Bible and take a look at the book of Numbers. And take a look at the book of Numbers chapter 13. And realize what's going on during that particular period of time. Before we get to the book of Deuteronomy, we get to the book of Numbers. And Numbers in chapter 13 tells us a great deal. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness, more or less the desert, of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel. And he mentions the various tribes that are listed there, and he says the following, verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up by this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what cities that they be dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And what did the 12 spies come back with? They came back with racks of grapes. They said to the people, but we're not able to go up against these people. There are giants in that land. We are like grasshoppers compared to them in our size. They will ruin us if we go against them. And Caleb and Joshua. It is noted in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And verse 33, they came of the sons of Anak, which were come of giants, and we were in their sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. The sadness that they had brought on was only because of one thing. Joshua and Caleb knew that God was going with them. And no matter the strength, no matter the size, no matter the background, this land that flowed with milk and honey that they could enjoy and would enjoy, live in houses that they didn't build, and they would live there, be there, rewarded because of God, not because of their might. But they forgot that. And they looked at the circumstance that they were in and said, we cannot go. What did the Lord refer to that? In verse number 32, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. An evil report was brought up. Here is the distinction between what I preached this morning about sadness, how it comes about, how it can be there, and how it can stop people in their tracks. And this is the lesson tonight about joy. Happiness and reward. The difference between the sorrow and the joy that the peace of the Lord provides for each of us. What a blessing. What a blessing we can have to go God's way and to know that He continues to go with His people. He is with us. And to this extent, our Lord Jesus said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We're never so small, we're not effective with God being with us. Never. Never. Let's enjoy the idea of that. And as we stand together and sing this song tonight, remember, this is the way of God that He wants us to follow.
Will you come with your poor broken heart, burdened with sin oppressed? Lay it down at the cross of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest, happy rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? How He pleads with you now, but you His fully breast. And whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest, happy rest. Oh, why won't you come in the simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.
77, after the song Veil,
day is over, night is drawing nigh.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful today for this opportunity to come and study another word. Ask you to guide God, direct us, and forgive us for our sins. Right now we pray.
Amen.